I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Wow, what a song. It's a blessing. Amen. This is our year of greatness. Tell someone this is your year of greatness. Tell someone there is greatness waiting to happen to you. Tell that same person, you shall be great. Tell that person, I believe it with all my heart, that you shall be great. Hallelujah. You shall be great. Amen. Now, greatness is the theme for our year. Amen. And as I was sharing with you last night, I believe that God has given us a great prophet in our bishop. Amen. And what he says comes to pass. That is the hallmark of a good prophet. A good prophet is one who speaks and it comes to pass. Hallelujah. If you're looking for a prophecy to believe, find someone who has a track record of fulfilled prophecies. Someone who says, this is going to happen, and it actually happens. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because there are all sorts of prophets and all kinds of prophets or all kinds of people who call themselves prophets, but who do not have such a track record. There's a type of prophet, the Bible calls him light and treacherous, right? That means a dangerous prophet. You see, let me show you that verse, Zephaniah. Do you know Zephaniah? Have you ever read a verse in Zephaniah? Maybe not. This is a year of greatness. So expect to read verses you've never even read before, because it's part of greatness to do things you've never done before. Hallelujah. But look at chapter 3 and verse 4 of that verse. It says, her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Can you see that? And her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. Hallelujah. So you can see that there are light and treacherous prophets. People who speak and say things that they don't really know what they're saying. But we are blessed to have someone who has a track record of saying things as inspired by the Holy Spirit, and which things have come to pass right in our lifetime. Hallelujah. See, I remember a time when we were having a camp meeting somewhere, and then Bishop was preaching, and he mentioned Dr. Cho's church. And then he said that Dr. Cho's church had 700 pastors. And he said, 700 pastors. He said, I don't mean members, that the pastors are 700. Wow. So you can imagine how many members there are. You know, and back in the day, I mean, to hear about 700 pastors, and we were wondering, when will we ever have 700 pastors? But I remember Bishop saying, one day we will have 700 pastors. Well, today is one day. Today is one day, and we have more than 2,000 pastors. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. I remember the day he said that He said, a time will come when we'll have a meeting and people will introduce themselves to me as pastors in the Lighthouse Chapel, and I wouldn't know them. Wow. You know, and today there are many pastors in our church who have never met Bishop on a personal level. I mean, he doesn't know them. You have to introduce yourself to him for him to know you. Do you see what I'm saying? So many things. One day we're going to have 1,000 churches. Well, now we've crossed that twice, and now we're probably going, I think we're headed for 3 now, right? So you can see that through the years, his prophecies have come to pass. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so when you have such a prophet in your midst, you need to take his words seriously and embrace them. And last night I was giving you even a further key, which is that when that prophet's words are based on the scripture, then you have the best reason to believe that prophet. If what he's saying is based on the scripture, if it is the word of God, if it is scriptural, if it is not scriptural, you're going to have a hard time believing it. Do you see what I'm saying? But if it is scriptural, then believe it. Because God gives prophets to change destinies. Do you understand? I mean, destiny obviously is related to destination, isn't it? It's related to the ultimate conclusion of the journey, right? So when you say someone's destiny is being changed, what you're saying is his final destination, given the road he's on now, his final destination is altered, is changed. Hallelujah. That's nice. Because I saw everybody looking this way. I was just wondering what is there. So, okay. So now we've seen it. You can take it off. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? That destiny is where the journey ends. Last night I defined destiny to you as destiny, the dictionary says, is the predetermined, usually inevitable, or irresistible course of events. Hallelujah. So by a prophet, God is able to change, you know, the predetermined. Do you understand that? The usually inevitable or irresistible course of events as they are programmed and determined by the way your life is being lived can be altered. Hallelujah. Because our origins, our backgrounds create a predetermined conclusion to our lives. Amen. The places we have come from, the experiences we have had, who we are, all work together to create a predetermined end, you know, which is just waiting to happen. Hallelujah. You see, if you see someone driving on 210, this 210 freeway over here, if you see someone driving on it around here and he's headed this way, then you know that unless something actually happens, that person is going to hit that station. It's just a matter of time. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there are places that are predetermined by the course you're on. The course you're on has predicted your future. It's just that the future is still ways away from you. So you have not experienced the conclusion or the destiny. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, for some of us, that destiny is not great. It's not great because of where we are coming from, because of who we are. Even our personal habits strip us of greatness or even the potential to be great. The way we are will make it very difficult to be great. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. But thank God for a prophet. Because by a prophet, God is able to bring people out and change their destiny. God is able to alter what would have become of your life and change it around, and suddenly you start to have hope for a brighter future than you were predetermined by your pre-existing conditions to have. Can I have an amen? Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So when that prophet now comes up and says, this year is your year of greatness, then my great encouragement to you is to believe it,
yeah.
Is to receive it,
yeah.
Is to accept it,
yeah.
And to add your voice to the chorus and say that this is my year of greatness.
Yeah.
You shall be great this year.
Yeah.
I said, you shall be great this year.
Yeah.
You shall be great this year.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Right? And to be great means, among other things, to be notable, isn't it?
Yeah.
To be noteworthy. Oh my goodness, I just lost it. Right? Okay. Distinguished, right? Dignified is another one. To be eminent, right? Right? To be exalted. Excellent. Famous. So you don't even have to understand all those words, but you just, if you can understand two or three of them, you can assume that the others mean the same. Right? Right? So to be famous, to be what?
Glorious.
To be glorious. Glorious. Beautiful. God is bringing beauty into your life this year. All the ugliness in your life is giving way to beauty in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. See, sometimes we have so much ugliness in our lives. Even when good things happen, they don't look beautiful. Exactly. So, see how sometimes when someone is so shabbily dressed, it casts a shadow on his brand new shoes. You look at the person's presentation, and even though he's wearing a pair of brand new shoes, you can't even see or feel it. Because the rest of his dressing casts such a dark shadow on whatever else is happening. You see what I'm saying? And sometimes there's so much confusion in our lives and so much complexity in our upbringing, in our background, in our exposure, and the things that have happened to us, that it is difficult for the beauty to shine through.
Wow.
But this year, God's glory is coming upon you.
Yeah.
I love Isaiah chapter 61 that says, arise and shine, for thy light is come. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It says, arise and shine, for thy light is come.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Hallelujah. Arise and shine, for your light is come. When your light comes, it's your time to arise and shine. Think of it as someone who's driving and who's stopped at a stoplight. There's a season where you stop because the light is red. But when it changes to green for you, the scripture now says, arise and accelerate. Because your light has come. Hallelujah. It's now time for you. The light has gone green for you. It's your turn to accelerate. Everybody else stops. And you start to sail through that intersection because it's your time, it's your season, it's your day. That is what this year is for you. It's your season for greatness. It's your time for greatness. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So believe the prophetic word. Amen. That this is our year of greatness. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Now, I was sharing with you some scriptures about how that God expects greatness from us. And one of the notable ones was the scripture about Abraham, isn't it? How that God promised Abraham that he would be great. He said, I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Hallelujah. I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now, this promise is for Abraham and for Abraham's seed. right? He says, I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. You know, verse 1, he says, God appeared to Abraham and said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Hallelujah. Because sometimes that whole background is so messed up that it kind of destroys what God wants to do. So God needs to separate people sometimes from where they have, you know, originated and grown up. Do you see? And bring them to a place. That's one of the blessings. That's how, you know, I joined this church, and that is my greatest blessing. My great, great, great blessing was to actually join this church. Hallelujah. And since then, my life has never been the same. It's just been one blessing after the other, right? So God said to him in verse 2, I will make you great. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. Notice how before Abraham, we don't know his father, all this, there's no greatness behind him. Do you understand? In his kindred, there is no greatness there. You know, and some of us have a similar background as Abraham. There's no greatness. You know, there's no remarkable person around us. There is no greatness. There's nothing worth emulating around us. If you try to emulate what is behind you, you will just recreate a bunch of confusion that you would not like to experience. That is why God has isolated you, and God is changing that for you in the name of Jesus. He said, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Hallelujah. So God's intention is to make you a blessing. Tell someone, this year I will be a blessing. Yeah. Not only expect to be blessed. Huh? The lower life is to expect a blessing. The higher life is to be the blessing. Isn't it? Yeah. Hallelujah. If you met a beggar at the stoplight, and he asked you for change, who would you rather be? The one receiving the change or the one giving the change? Yeah. So keep that place. Tell somebody, I'm keeping my place. I will be the blessing. Yeah. If you like, tell your neighbor, between you and I will be the blessing to you. Yeah. Yeah. Tell that person, I'm not going to wait for you to bless me. I will bless you. Yeah, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. Yes, and tell that person, starting from right after church. I am going to bless you. Hallelujah. One day David said to the Lord, you know, Lord, because David was trying to be very impressive, and he was talking to God and said, Lord, you know, I live in a beautiful house, and I see that you don't have a house. So I want to build you a house. And when David went home, God sent a prophet to him the next day, said, tell David not to build me a house. I will build him a house. Hallelujah. Amen. God said, I will build him a house. Hallelujah. I see you being the blessing. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Right. So he said to Abraham, I will make you great. Amen. And now, when you read Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you need to read this verse properly so you understand it. The one before that, verse 13, that says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. being made a curse for us. Do you understand? Then there's a colon, which means what is coming is just explaining what has just been said, right? So he says, he's explaining how come Christ was made a curse for us. And that is that it is written that when you hang someone on a tree, that person is cursed. So he was made a curse for us. As our substitution, he was made a curse, you see, so that we can be free from the curse. So you can just read, let's read up to the colon and then jump to the next verse. Do you understand? So let's read, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Then verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
That Christ redeemed us from the curse so that the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of greatness, might come upon us. So if you are in Christ, you see, and it comes upon us through Jesus. That's why it's a mistake to go through life without Jesus Christ. You are a non-starter if you're going through life without Jesus Christ. Because that's where it begins. Do you see what I'm saying? You need to identify with Jesus Christ for that to be applicable to you. He said that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. So you have to have Jesus Christ. Then through him, a blessing comes upon you. Hallelujah. God wants you to walk in greatness. And he has provided a way for us to walk in greatness, that the blessing of Abraham will come upon us through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I'm expecting that every blessing that God gave to Abraham, that blessing is coming upon me through Jesus Christ. Because Christ was hung on a tree, he became a curse so that my curses will go away and that the blessing of Abraham will come upon me. Hallelujah. The blessing of Abraham is upon me. And the blessing of Abraham is a blessing of greatness. Hallelujah. It's a blessing that makes people remarkable. It's a blessing that makes people distinguished. It's a blessing that bestows honor on people. It's a blessing that makes people eminent, makes people prominent, makes people important. Anybody who is walking properly in the blessing of Abraham cannot help. Do you understand? Because remember, the destiny is predetermined and it is irresistible. Do you understand? You can't help but be great. If you're walking properly as a child of God, can I have an amen? So stop choosing the low life. Stop falling for demonic enticements to be one foot in Christ and the other foot in the world and not walking properly in your destiny. You understand? Because if you don't walk properly in it, you lose the blessing. You lose the blessing. See, I've seen how sometimes they confer, you know, permanent resident status on people in this country. You know, and when you're given permanent resident status, means you can now live here, you know, permanently, you see. But then you have people who don't walk in it properly. You see, they have one foot here and then another foot in another place. And so they say to you that, if you have permanent residency and you go and live somewhere for more than 6 months, then you are showing that you are not really serious about being here. And that's when they withdraw the permanent residency. Can you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And you find people who are in Christ, but who are not properly and permanently resident in him, who take excursions in and out of Christ. Do you see what I'm saying? And because of that, the blessing of Abraham does not sit properly on you. That is why greatness is eluding you. But this is the year that corrects that.
Amen.
I said this is the year that corrects that.
Amen.
This is the year of greatness. Amen. This is the year of walking fully in the blessing of Abraham. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen? Walking in the blessing of Abraham. You will walk in greatness this year. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, look at Isaac. Isaac. Isaac is Abraham's son. So, Genesis chapter 26. Now, Genesis and chapter 26, we read about Isaac, who was Abraham's son. He was the first person to experience the blessing of Abraham and see the effect of Isaac, of the blessing on Isaac, in chapter 26, and read from why don't we read from verse 1. It says, and there was famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt. Because everybody was migrating to Egypt, because things were really tough in Israel where they lived. And he said, go not down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. You know, one of the greatest things you can do for your children is to serve God properly. Amen. If you can serve God properly, God will bless your children. It's more valuable that you serve God properly. The legacy you leave for your children, spiritual legacy that you leave for your children, is far better than leaving them a house. Do you understand that? Look at it. The Bible says, God came to Isaac and said to him, don't leave, because your father served me so well, I'm going to bless you for it. Do you understand? It's like your father's life was not long enough for my blessing on him to find full expression, so it has to continue with you. Right? He says, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments, my statutes and my laws, and so I am going to bless you. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Now verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Can you see that? The Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward. Can you see that? He went forward and grew until he became very great. Wow. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Hallelujah. Your enemies are going to start envying you soon. This is the year where people are going to envy you. A lot of people are going to envy you this year. Do you believe it? Tina, do you believe it? Are you sure? Because I saw a look on your face. It was more like, oh, okay, Pastor. Believe it. Amen. Because greatness is often accompanied with envy. Yeah. Wow. Most great people are envied. Yeah. And so most great people end up with a lot of enemies. They end up having a lot of people who do not wish them well. A lot of people who wish, you know, when someone envies you, they just wish they were you. That is what it is. They wish they have what you have. This is the year people are going to envy you. Some people will wish, they will wish they had your marriage. They will wish they had your children. They will wish they had your job. They'll be wondering, how come, what did you do to get such a job? How come you have all these things working for you? And they're going to wish they were you. That's envy. Hallelujah. The Philistines envied Isaac, but they didn't understand the root of the thing. That God had blessed Abraham. And now God was blessing Abraham's son Isaac. And Isaac was also trying to follow in his father's footsteps. The Bible says God blessed Abraham because he obeyed. And that blessing fell on Isaac. So when the blessing fell on Isaac, God also came and told Isaac, don't move, don't relocate. And Isaac also obeyed it. You see, remember, God told Abraham, Isaac's father, move. Do you see? He said, move. And Abraham obeyed that. And Abraham moved and God blessed him. So Isaac probably came up thinking that, you know, the blessing is in moves. You know, that the blessing is, you have to move somewhere. When he looked around and he saw that there was famine, he said, I'm also moving. Because my father moved and he prospered. So I'm also moving. Then God said, no, it's not about moving. It's about doing what I say. There's a difference. It's not about moving. If you move when I haven't told you to move, that's dangerous. It's about obeying me. So your instruction is stay. I told your father, move. But you stay. And Isaac stayed and he dwelt in that land. And the Bible says he sowed, he invested, he poured himself into the land. Because he knew this is where I am. See, when God gives you a place, when God plants you somewhere, when God even plants you in a church, you have to settle and plant and invest in the place. Have a mind of someone who is there permanently. You must have a permanent mind about the place where God has planted you and invest in that place because your blessings are going to come out of that place. Can I have an amen? And look at it, how the Bible says, and Isaac sowed in that land and received in that same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him, and the man waxed great. Hallelujah. Are you surprised that Isaac waxed great? I am not surprised because Isaac is Abraham's son. He's Abraham's son and his father was great. And the blessing of Abraham came upon Isaac and that blessing made him great. It also made him move forward. It made him move forward. This is the year when all stagnation will end. I said this is the year when all stagnation will end. You will not be stagnated anymore. Stagnant things begin to stink after a while. But God is delivering you from stagnation. You're going to move forward. I said you will move forward. You will not be at the same place. God will throw you into some new things. God will throw you into some new fights, into some new battles, into some new challenges. This is the year that ends stagnation in your life in the name of Jesus. Receive that blessing. Receive that blessing. You will not be stuck in one place. You will not be sitting somewhere wondering what to do next. God will keep you moving. Hallelujah. As you go through the year, even challenges that are thrown your way, expect that these challenges are supposed to propel you forward. Are you getting what I'm saying? Rather, the danger is that there is no challenge. The danger is that you have no fights, that you have no battles. Because if you are having no battles, it means you are not conquering anything. It means you are not gaining new territories. It means you are not advancing. You are not expanding. You are not increasing. You are not becoming greater. Because you don't have any challenges or any difficulties or battles before you. Can I have an amen? Amen. So he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Hallelujah. Now, why is this important? Why is this verse important? Because what I wanted you to see is the effect of Abraham's blessing on Isaac, his seed. Can you see that? Now remember, the scripture said, that Christ redeemed us so that the blessing of Abraham will come upon us through Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Now, if you jump to Galatians, go with me to Galatians and go to chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 28. There is an interesting verse there that says, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." Can you see that? It says, "We, brethren, as Isaac was, we are the children of promise." Isaac was a child of promise. And we also are the children of promise. Can you understand that? Yeah. So now, just as by being connected to Abraham, the blessing came upon Isaac and it transformed everything. That same blessing that is on Isaac is also on you. And that is a blessing that will change everything and will change everything in your life. Do you believe it? Shout amen if you believe it. Hallelujah. So greatness is in your future. Greatness is right ahead of you. God plans to make you great. Can I have an amen? God intends to make you great. Let's look at a few other scriptures. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19. It says, "Whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Hallelujah. So right there you can see that in the kingdom of heaven you can be great. There is such a thing as greatness in the kingdom. And God is showing us one of the things that makes people great in the kingdom is when they do the things in the word and teach others to do them. Do you understand? That's why preaching makes you great. Being a shepherd makes you great. Anybody who does, takes it upon himself to do the things and teaches others to do the same. Rather, the least in the kingdom are people who set bad examples. The Bible says people who, look at the verse. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and then teach other people to do the same, that person is the lowest in the kingdom of God. Lowest in the kingdom of God are bad examples. But I see you being a good example. You are a good example from today. Look, today is the first day of a new era. One of the great things about a new year is it gives you an opportunity to hit the reset button on your life. You can start afresh. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, I had my iPhone the other day and I wanted to give it to one of my kids to use it. So I had to erase the whole thing, right? So I went to the iPhone. My iPhone has a lot of things on it, you know, and I wanted to make it fresh. So I went into some part of the phone and I hit reset. And when I hit reset, it erased everything and it made the phone like the day I got it from the Apple store.
Wow.
Do you understand? Yeah. A new year gives you that kind of effect.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's an opportunity to hit a reset button. It's an opportunity to start afresh. It's an opportunity to start with new energy and new strength to believe some new things about yourself and to start moving forward with those new things because you can make it. And when you are moving forward with new things, with new information, then you have a greater chance of being successful. That is why I'm saying that this is your year of greatness.
Amen.
And you have to believe it. You have to believe it. It is the prophetic word to us as a church, and we believe it.
Amen.
We must receive it. And as many as believe it, And as many as receive it, they shall begin to experience the greatness that God is talking about in the name of Jesus. Can you see that? Hallelujah. Now, one more verse. What makes people great? What is it that makes people great? How do people become great? Some people feel that the more education you get, the greater your chance of being great. But, of course, if education is what made people great, then there will be far more great people in life. Because those of you in school often have as many as 20 other people with you in the class. 30 people, isn't it? So there should be many more great people than we are experiencing. Education is not what makes people great. Education is like knowing how to use cutlery. Knowing how to use cutlery is not the same as having something to use the cutlery on. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? What is the use of when someone is educated and they are not blessed? They are like someone who knows how to use cutlery, but there's no food on the plate. There's nothing to eat it with. There are some people who have no cutlery but have food on the plate. Yeah. That person is far better off than the person who has the cutlery but there's nothing on there to eat. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's good to be educated, but what you should really be fighting for is a blessing.
That's right.
Because a blessing is what makes people great. You saw the scriptures we read that the guy became great because he was blessed. It says the Lord blessed him. That's what made him great. The Lord blessed him and it made him great. Our world today is so secularized that people believe more in other things than in the blessing. And yet it's right before our eyes. It's right before our eyes. Because if you can have two people who study the same thing at school and one of them seems to be doing well and the other is not, then the message is very clear that the success is explained by something other than what they studied at school. Does it make sense? Because you have two people who sat in class, two people who were taught the same things, right? And they both graduated. But one of them seems to be doing very well and another one is not doing so well, even though they studied the same thing. You must then believe that whatever you were seeing, that other person's success has to be explained by something other than what they have in common. Yeah. There's something else that's working that the other person does not have. Yeah. Are you getting what I'm saying? And usually that something else is the blessing of the Lord. It is the Lord's blessing that makes people great. Hallelujah. Do you believe that?
Oh, yeah.
God is going to bless you this year.
Amen.
As you serve God properly, He will bless you this year.
Amen.
And that blessing is going to move you up to the top.
Amen.
That blessing will make you prominent.
Amen.
That blessing will make you the favored one.
Amen.
It will make you the chosen one.
Amen.
You will be the preferred one.
Amen.
Because the blessing of God is upon you. You must believe in the blessing. You must believe in the blessing. Hallelujah. Isaac almost missed it. Isaac said the whole point is relocation. Yeah, moves. Just moves. That once you find a very difficult place, just move to the next place. That's the way to be blessed. He said, my dad did it. I'm doing it too. You know? But the Lord appeared to him and said, no, that's not what it is. What makes people great is my blessing upon him. Hallelujah. And in the Bible days, people understood it. Do you see? People understood it. And in today, you must also understand it. Today, you must also understand what really sets a person apart from another. That it is really the Lord's blessing. Is it not interesting that all these people, the other day I read something that one of the guys, I think it's Peter, what's his name? Peter Thiel or something like that, right? Okay, so this guy had started some kind of a foundation where he pays people to drop out of school. Yeah, he was paying graduates to drop out of school and to try their hands at startups. They should just try to do something. You see, and I thought it wasn't such a great idea, but I couldn't blame him. I could understand him because it looks like we are confused about what really makes people great. Because all the people we have educated have not become so great, but rather the greatest people around us are the ones who dropped out of school. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. So then you start to wonder, so then is school a bad thing or what? So then he has also just come up with this thing, like, why don't we pay some people? He said, if you drop out of school, I'll give you $15,000 or something like that to try your hands at something, you know. And he started doing something like that, confusing a lot of young people. But you see, a lot of young people are going to follow that and end up wrecking their lives because it's really not dropping out of school that makes people great. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, that's not what, even he probably cannot understand or explain why he has done well. So you start to point to the wrong thing. You think that it's something else that has made you great. And you start to move people down that path. And they may not have that greatness because it is the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. It is the blessing of the Lord. And sometimes the blessing of the Lord that is coming upon you is so remote. Like when we start reading about Isaac, you see that he is already blessed because of Abraham. You see, God is blessing. God has already earmarked Isaac for blessing, even before Isaac does anything. It is actually the blessing of the Lord that makes God appear to Isaac. God appears to Isaac because he's trying to bless Abraham. Do you see? So he's trying to bless Abraham more. So he appears to Isaac and starts to guide Isaac so that Isaac can also walk in greatness and in the blessing. And it is a favor he's doing for. A lot of these people who are successful are people whose grandfathers, you know, great-grandfathers, some of them sponsored missions, missionaries. Some of them built churches. Some of them built synagogues. Yeah, they built synagogues. Especially, you see, when you see people who have Jewish heritage, you have to be careful when you follow such people. Do you understand? Because many of them are still hanging on to the blessing of Abraham. And their multitude of sins through the generations cannot seem to erase or neutralize the blessing of Abraham that is upon them. Yeah. So you see, they are so blessed that everything they touch seems to work. Seems to do well because of a covenant God made with their father many, many years ago. He said, I will bless you and I will bless your generations. I will bless your children and your children's children. I mean, we're talking about a blessing that has a long-lasting effect. That is why I'm saying one of the greatest things you can do for your children is not a house that you buy for them. You get it? They might actually grow up and sell the house. So it's not the house. Yeah, that's not what it is. Yes. There was a guy whose father left him a house with air conditioners, one of these houses with window unit air conditioners. And the guy took one air conditioner and took it to a drinking place. And he asked the guy to put a value on it. And the people valued, they put some value on the air conditioner. And the guy told them, when I come and drink my beers, you take it out of the air conditioner. So he just used the air conditioner to finance his drinking. So he drank the first air conditioner, you know. So I think one day he went there and the man said, your air conditioner is finished. So he thought, oh, really? No problem. So he goes to the house, to the second bedroom, and he removes the second air conditioner, and he brings that one too. Says, put a value on that. And every time I drink, you take the air conditioner, you take it out of the air conditioner, you know. And he drank all the air conditioners in the house. What you need is a blessing. I said, what you need is what?
A blessing.
What you need is a blessing. Look for a blessing. Look for a blessing. Look for a blessing. Look for a blessing. Because if the blessing is on you, it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what you're missing. The blessing will more than make up for any handicap that you have. The blessing will more than make up for any difficulty in the place where you live. Isaac was living in a place, even when he was digging wells, the people were collecting the wells from him. But it didn't stop him from becoming great. That's why the Philistines envied him. The guys who were working against his success found out that they could not stop the guy from being successful. Every place, when Isaac would dig the ground a little bit, he would find water. And then the people will come and collect the well. And Isaac will go to another place, dig the ground a little bit. Somehow, Isaac just had a knack for determining where to find water. You took it from him, he would do it again. You take it from him, he would do it again. And the results were the same all the time. Because a blessing was upon him. A blessing was upon him. Don't live this year without a blessing. Don't walk out of the blessing of God. You would be signing up for a very difficult life. A very difficult life is a life without blessing. You picture Isaac without blessing living where he was living. There was famine. That's what was there. Everybody was struggling. Nobody was doing well. Everyone was having a very hard time. It was great and grave economic hardship. It was a very difficult time for everybody else, but for Isaac. That's why the people eyed his wells so much, because it was not easy to find water. You know, and I'm sure that the people themselves, they looked at the efforts they had made and they could not get what Isaac had. So they had to use some laws and some technicalities and then just come fight him in court. Somebody goes and says, this land belongs to my ancestors or something like that. And they have some kind of litigation. And before they know it, the judge rules in favor of the people. Isaac has lost the place. Then Isaac goes to find the next one. But every place that Isaac dug, he could find water. Hallelujah. You will find water. I said, you will find water because of the blessing that is on you. Fight to be blessed. Hallelujah. Because a blessing will make a huge difference to your life. Can I have an amen? Now look at this last verse in chapter 27 of Genesis and see how Isaac was chapter 27 verse 32. It says, and Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. You know, now these are Abraham's grandchildren, isn't it? Yeah. Esau is Isaac's son. He's born together with Jacob. These are two people who seem to understand the difference that a blessing makes in someone's life. And they actually fought for it. Wow. They fought for just the words that the father would say something over their lives. Because they knew that if you didn't have those words over your life, it didn't matter what education you had. It didn't matter how much property is left for you. It didn't matter who you're connected with. Your life would really come to nothing. Do you understand? So it says, and Isaac, his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, Esau, thy firstborn. Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that has taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, he shall be blessed." He said, "I have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed." And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." Verse 35, and he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." And he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord." Do you see? I've already made him great by the blessing. I've made him thy lord. "And all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father?" Is it? Do you have only one blessing? You know? Then he said, "Bless me, even also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Hallelujah. Can you see something very serious is going on here? You see, if you and I were in a place today, the way the world is today, you know, and you went to church and the pastor said to someone, "God bless you," but didn't say that to you, you wouldn't feel like it means anything. Is that true or false? Yeah. If the pastor says to someone, "God bless you," and didn't say to you, "God bless you," it wouldn't mean anything to you. You wouldn't even feel like it makes a difference. But this is what Isaac said to Jacob when Isaac thought that Jacob was Esau. You know, Jacob had tricked his father and had cooked for the father, and the father was blessing him as though he was Esau, you know. And the father spoke from his heart blessings upon Jacob that were meant for Esau. And then Esau comes back and discovers that his father has actually blessed Jacob instead of him. And he's thinking that, oh, it's just words you throw around. You just said, "God bless you," to him. Why don't you just say those same words to me? And Isaac was trying to explain that the thing is deeper than that. That those words that I spoke over Jacob's life are words that will make him Lord over everyone, including you. And he said, "I cannot reverse it. It's a blessing." He said, "I have sustained him. You know, I have actually kept him. I have preserved him. I have maintained him. I have supported him. I have gathered him up, and I have sustained him. That's what I've done. It's not like I just threw some words around. Something substantial has come upon Jacob that you cannot just take away." That is why Isaac wept bitterly. The Bible says he lifted up his voice and he cried with a very bitter cry. He was very deeply hurt because at that point he understood that he had lost something very great. Hallelujah. Does it make sense what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. He saw that he had lost something. You see, these are people who understood the blessing. That even just for your father to say to you that you are blessed and that you will be great, he felt that that alone is going to make a very big difference. And the father said, "I have sustained him. The blessing on him will keep him." So you see, when you follow Jacob's life, you see, he has a lot of very unfortunate things happening to him, but he never seems to go down. Because the guy is rock sustenance. Do you understand? There is a blessing under him. His father said, I have sustained him. So if you were driving with Jacob, you know, and you were in an accident, you would be surprised that Jacob will get out and you are losing your limbs and all of that. Because your father has sustained him. If you were working in a place with Jacob, you'd be surprised that they'll call everybody and lay everyone off for so many reasons. And somehow, Jacob, who is the most recent hire, he gets to keep the job. Because he has been sustained. You rent a room with Jacob. You are roommates. Landlord calls you two to a meeting and says he wants one of you out. And he says you are the one who must get out. Because his father has sustained him. Jacob messes up and he contracts some kind of complex disease. You will not even know how Jacob seems to come out of these things. But he never seems to go down. Because there's a blessing of sustenance on him. I see that blessing coming upon you this year. Hallelujah. Our father's words and our father's blessings in this church are very important. Amen. The words spoken over our lives by our pastor and our father, those words will sustain us. Amen. And don't take them for granted. I tell you, Esau understood it. So he said he was trying to get his father just to repeat those words. Just, can you just say it again, please? Just say it again. I understand. You gave it to Jacob, but can you just say it again? Say something. The father said, no, I've given it to him. He said, do you have only one blessing? And the father was explaining that I have already made him your Lord. He's already your boss. No matter what you do, Jacob would always be more successful than you. And that's how you see Jacob, even when his brothers sell his youngest and favorite son. That rather becomes his prosperity. Can you imagine that? His favorite son. The brothers sell him into Egypt. They even bring, they killed some goat or something and put the blood in some shirt and brought the father and said, your son is finished. And Jacob thinks that this is over. And then years after, he finds out that what he thought he had even lost had actually moved way into his future to become his sustenance. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. As the blessing of greatness comes upon you this year, you're going to find some of the things you thought you had lost. You'll be surprised that they actually just relocated into your future. They just ran on ahead of you. You know how sometimes you can go to the mall with kids and at some point you can't find them and you get all so flustered and so harassed and everything, and then you walk outside and you find them standing by the car. Yeah, what you thought you had lost had actually gone ahead of you and is actually waiting for you somewhere. That will be your story this year in the name of Jesus. You should believe it. You should believe it. You thought you had lost a job, not knowing that you were actually being set up for a promotion. And for a blessing. What you thought had left your hand had actually run on ahead of you to position itself in a strategic place where it would make even more sense. You know, Joseph made much more sense to Jacob as the prime minister of Egypt than as his pet son at home. Yeah. Someone who used to make him tea at night. You know, what is the use of that? He thought he had lost his favorite boy, the one who makes tea at night for him, the one who polishes his shoes, the one who washes his car, the one who irons his clothes. I mean, his favorite boy, he enjoyed watching movies with this boy. And the brothers had sold him and he was so heartbroken, not knowing that God had transferred that boy into his future. Because God had put a blessing of sustenance on him. He said, I have sustained him. That's what Isaac said. God is sustaining you. Amen. I said, God is sustaining you. Amen. You will not go down. Amen. You will not go down. Amen. You will not go down. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God is blessing us this year with greatness. I told you the conversation has just begun. We're going to be talking a lot about greatness until we become great. It says Isaac became great and he went forward. And went forward until he became very great. You're going to become great this year. As you follow God wholly, as you choose God, as you serve God, as you obey God, you're going to become great in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Everybody close your eyes, please, as we bring the service to a close. This is the very first Sunday of the year, and it's our covenant Sunday. Today is the day that we make covenants. Today is the day that we make promises to the Lord. It's the day that we set the tone for how the rest of this year is going to go. It is the day that we say, Lord, I'm going to do my best to serve you this year. I'm going to try very hard to obey you. I'm going to try to be regular at church. I'm going to try to have a regular quiet time this year. I'm going to try to read my Bible every day. I'm going to read my Bible every day this year. I'm going to spend some time with you every morning before I step out. I'm going to have a seasonal fast. Maybe once a week, twice a week. On the day I'm born, on my birthday, I'm going to fast and pray and consecrate myself. I'm going to set myself as apart to wait on you. I don't know what covenant you want to make with the Lord today, but this is your opportunity to talk to God. Today is Covenant Sunday. It's your opportunity to speak to the Lord. Opportunity to make that promise to the Lord. It's the opportunity to make a specific covenant with the Lord. And I want you to think about it and ask yourself, what covenant can I make with God today? How do I want my relationship with God to go this year? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Yes, Lord, I is you. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
My life,
my life is.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh,
yes, Lord.
My life
is yours.
Sing it again. Come on.
Yes, Lord.
As we close the service today, maybe you're here and you want to give your life to Jesus. You know in your heart that you're not born again, that Jesus is not Lord over your life. He's not a part of your life. you know that your sins are not forgiven. You are not sure that you are saved. That if you died, you would go to heaven. These are very important issues, and you can be sure today before you leave. I want to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to be Lord over your life, to forgive your sins, to make you a child of God. This is an opportunity. It's the first day of the year. The first few hours of the first day of the year, and God is giving you this opportunity to start, to hit the reset button on your life and start over again. So if that is what is on your heart, you want to do that this morning, I want you quietly, while every eye is closed, while we're all praying, everybody just close your eyes and just pray for yourself. And if you're here and you want to give your life to Jesus, you want me to pray for you or pray with you, I want you to slip up your right hand so I can see it, and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that today? You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to get right with God. You want to start a relationship with God that is meaningful. You want to live your life in a new way this year. You want God to be Lord over your life. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody here like that today? Is there anybody here like that today? God bless you. Is there anybody else who wants to give your life to Jesus? You want to start on a fresh note. You want God to start afresh with you. You say, Lord, I've tried this before and I didn't get anywhere with it. But I'm humble enough to give it one more try. I want to try it again, Lord. I want to put you first in my life this year. I want to start over with you. Is there anybody here like that today? Anybody else? You want to give your life to Jesus? God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for my sins. Today I acknowledge I am a sinner.
Today I acknowledge I am a sinner.
I acknowledge that you died for me.
I acknowledge that you died for me.
So Lord Jesus.
So Lord Jesus.
Please come into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash
me. Let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood wash me, Lord.
Let your blood wash me, Lord.
And let your blood cleanse me.
And let your blood cleanse me.
And release me, Lord, to serve you.
Release me, Lord, to serve you.
I want to serve you this year.
I want to serve you this year.
I want to be a true child of God.
I want to be a true child of God.
I want the blessing of Abraham to come upon me.
I want the blessing of Abraham to come upon me.
So, Lord Jesus.
So, Lord Jesus.
Take me as your own.
Take me as your own.
Say, devil.
Devil.
Say, devil.
Devil.
Today,
today,
you and I are done.
You and I are done.
I refuse to serve you.
I refuse to serve you.
Not even for one more day.
Not even for one more day.
You are not my master.
You are not my master.
Jesus is my master.
Jesus is my master.
I live for Jesus.
I live for Jesus.
Day after day.
Day after day.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Is the one I will obey.
Is the one I will obey.
You have no more power over me, devil.
You have no more power.
You have no more authority over me.
No more authority.
My life belongs to Jesus.
My life belongs to Jesus.
From today.
From today.
The first day of January 2017.
The first day of January 2017.
This is my covenant with the Lord.
This is my covenant with
I'm
the Lord.
I'm starting a new relationship with God.
I'm starting a new relationship with God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For hearing my prayer.
For hearing my prayer.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For taking me in.
For taking me in.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For making me a child of God.
For making me a child of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. You know, we have these covenant forms that we give out on every first Sunday of the year. And I want to hand one over to you. Just give one to every row. Just give them a few. Just. And I want you to take one. This is just a form that I want you to complete. I don't need to know what you put on there, and none of us is going to take it from you. It is your form. But I want you to complete it in church. I don't want you to take it home to complete. I want you to complete it in this service. Do you have some pens for us, right? You have some pens, right? Right. Okay. I want everybody to just take one of them, and then I want you to fill this out. Just write in there a few things that you are promising the Lord you will do this year. And it's between you and the Lord. You're going to write it down and you'll keep it. No one will be collecting these from you. And so no one will see what you have written. But I want you to write it. Just write it right here in this atmosphere and right here in church. Just write your covenant. What are you going to do? What is going to be different about you or in your life or your relationship with God this year? That's what this is about. So you may sit down, just sit down quietly, and then just write down something that's going to be between you and the Lord. You don't have to share it with anyone. It's your private covenant between you and the Lord, but you want to write it down today. Jesus. Write down as many as you want. You can even use the back if you have more than five. Then after that, just sign it or put your initials right there in the middle of the page. Just that is a covenant between you and the Lord. We're going to pray over this covenant that God will give you strength and that God will help you. God will help you to keep those promises. And then you're going to take it home and keep it somewhere. Just don't leave this in your car. Don't throw it away. Don't leave it in your pocket. Just put it somewhere special. And you're going to look at it at least once a month. Once a month. This year we're going to look at it once a month. Just take a look. Maybe the first Sunday of every month. Just look at it and see where you are with those things you said. Okay? So I want you to write down something. Everybody write down something and just keep it. Now, if you're done, just fold it. You can fold it in two like this. And we're going to pray together. Lift up your covenant before the Lord and let us pray together. Let's wait for those who are still writing. You can put your hands down. Let's wait for those who are still writing. Yes, Lord, my life is yours. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, my life is yours. My life is if you're done, just lift it up now. Let's pray together. Just lift up your covenant, everybody. Thank you, Lord. Say with me, say, Lord Jesus, this is my covenant with you.
This is my covenant with you.
Concerning the things I've written in here.
Concerning the things I've written in here.
I pray for strength.
I pray for strength.
I pray, Lord, for your help.
I pray, Lord, for your help.
I know I can count on you.
I know I can count on you.
Because it is you who works in us.
Because it is you who works in us.
Both to will and to do of your good pleasure.
Both to will and to do of your good pleasure.
Without you, I cannot do any of these things.
Without you, I cannot do any of these things.
So I'm asking for your help.
So I'm asking for your help.
Please help me, Lord.
Please help me, Lord.
To keep my side of the covenant.
To keep my side of the covenant.
I know that you are faithful.
I know that you are faithful.
And you will keep your part of the covenant.
And you will keep your part of the covenant.
But please help me, Lord.
Please help me, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. So you can keep these just folded nicely and keep it somewhere. Somewhere where you find, if you want to, sometimes we ask people to make, you know, a couple of copies. You can just write another one. So you, if you happen to lose one, you still have one, okay? So if you need some more, you can have an extra form. Give everyone an extra form if they want. Just write a second one and just keep it somewhere. Just so in case you lose the first one, you will have the other one. Okay? You can also take a picture of your phone, of your form, and save it on your phone. Right? Yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is yours. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is yours. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we want to come to the Lord's table before we go home this afternoon. This is power. Amen. This is the cup of blessing. The Bible calls it the cup of blessing. That is communion. This is the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The devil doesn't like people having communion, but he tells people all kinds of lies about communion. People get all so religious when it comes to communion. Because the devil understands that if you take this thing with faith, it is the power of God entering your life. And that is why when it comes to communion, many times the devil has people thinking all sorts of things. You know, people will more quickly try alcohol, more quickly smoke some new stuff, more quickly try something deadly than they would when it comes to communion, because somehow the devil wants you to stay away from this, because he knows the power that this releases into your life. But he's a liar. Amen. Hallelujah. This is something you need on a daily basis. This is something you need every time because of what it offers, what it adds to your life. This is the power of God packed in a little package like that. It is the body of Jesus Christ which was broken for us. Hallelujah. In the Bible says some people abused it. And they actually died. They died because it's a serious thing. Hallelujah. When you abuse drugs, they kill you. Because those things are meant to solve a problem in your life. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not just for, you know, swallowing just because you feel like swallowing something. So I want you to receive communion today with that in mind. That this is a cup that confers a blessing upon your life. That anyone who receives one of these today will go out of this place with a blessing. Amen. A blessing that will be with your life. A blessing that will sustain you through this year. Hallelujah. A blessing of sustenance is coming upon you today as you receive communion. Hallelujah. Father, we lift up the bread and the cup of blessing before you. We pray in the name of Jesus that your blessing will be upon this. Let this fight diseases in our bodies. Let this cancel our nomination and selection for accidents and unfortunate events in our lives this year, in the name of Jesus. Let this dissolve every tumor that is forming within us. Let this dissolve any difficult issue in our lives, in the name of Jesus. Let all unresolved matters receive resolution as we take the bread and the wine into our lives, in the name of Jesus. We cancel the activities of witches and wizards. We cancel the activities of the dark world, in the name of Jesus. We bind every work of Satan, in the name of Jesus. That by this communion, Satan is defeated, in the name of Jesus. By this communion, we cancel every demonic agenda concerning us this year, in the name of Jesus. That your people will stand righteous before you this year. By this communion, we overcome the sins that easily beset us. The struggles we have had in 2016, we are not bringing them to 2017. In the name of Jesus. The struggles of 2016 have been left behind. And this communion is what will seal that barrier between us and the issues of the past, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brothers, sisters,
we are one, and our lives have just begun. In the Spirit, we are young, and
Jason,
we'll live forever. Sons of God, hear His holy word.
Take the bread. Say with me, the body of Jesus Christ.
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 You may eat the bread. The blood of Jesus Christ is the proof of the covenant between you and the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the proof that sickness does not belong in your body. Amen. This is the proof that poverty is not your portion. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon you. And this is the proof of purchase. You know how you go to a store, and sometimes as you're leaving the store, some people at the door want to know whether you rightfully have the things in your bag, isn't it? And so they look in your bag. They don't have a problem with you having those things. They just need to see proof that they belong to you. Amen. This is that proof of purchase. This is proof that healing is your portion. That's why the devil doesn't want you to see it. He wishes you forget about this. Because as long as you can't find your receipt, even when you're returning something, the store can give you any price they want. Because they say that, you know, it's been reduced since you bought it. You see what I'm saying? But when you have the proof, no one can deprive you of what is rightfully yours. This is the proof. This is the proof. This is the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the blood that washed away your sins. This is the blood that transferred you from your family roots and your family issues and your family background and your family difficulties into the line of Abraham to join Abraham's children so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon you. Hallelujah. Say, the blessing of Abraham is upon me. Say, the blessing of Abraham is upon me. I am the seed of Abraham. Just like Isaac was, so am I. Thank you, Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. You may drink. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem. Just close your eyes as you sing the song. And shame. How I love that old cross where the dear rest and best for a world. Father, we thank you for the cup of blessing, and thank you for the blessing that rests upon your people today. The blessing that fights the works of darkness. The blessing that fights the work of the enemy. The blessing that fights the voices of discouragement. The voices of condemnation. In the name of Jesus, we silence those voices. The voices that have been suggesting suicide, we curse that voice and we silence it in the name of Jesus. The voices of rejection, the voices of rejection, we throw out that voice in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that we are accepted in the beloved in the name of Jesus. The voices that minister failure, that remind us constantly of what we did wrong, that remind us constantly of what we do not do well at, Lord, let those voices be drowned by the power of God and the blessing of Almighty. May the blessing of Abraham begin to manifest. May we begin to see the manifestation of the blessing of greatness, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Hallelujah.